Well, so the teachings of the science of mind, or actually metaphysics in general, is based upon the idea that we are immersed in this infinite intelligence. And that this intelligence, this energy that is the very life force that lives within everything and lives within us and expresses itself everywhere, is a presence and a power that is for good. And so we are immersed in that. And we are filled with that, that life force energy, that intelligence, that force for good, and we call it by many different names. We call it spirit, or the divine, or the infinite one, or love intelligence, or the universe, or Buddha mind, or Brahman, or God. It doesn't matter what you call it. What matters is that you recognize that it is right where you are, that you recognize that it is at the center of your life all of the time and at the center of your being all of the time. Recognizing then, if that is true, that means then that the intelligence of the universe, the wisdom of the divine, leads us and guides us all the time. We recognize that showing up as intuition, as that deep bones knowing that we just know that we know. It expresses itself within us as that wisdom, as that intuition, and it also expresses within us as peace, as love, and as that one thing that connects us to everything else in this universe. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, which is the textbook that we use as the basis for teaching most of our classes, written by Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy. He says, "No man or woman need prepare to meet God. We are meeting God every day in each hour in the day. We meet God in the rising sun, in the flowing stream, in the budding rose, in the joy of friendship and love, and in the silence of our own soul." So that presence that is all around us is so easy to see in the miracle of a new baby, when you see that baby. It's so easy to feel as that intuition and synchronicities of things that just line up. When we just so happen to stumble upon the person that says exactly the thing that we need to know. It shows up in nature. We see it in the beauty of the rose and in the unbelievable amazingness of a star-filled sky. We also meet and feel that presence, that one within the silence of our own soul. The problem is, though, we get so busy. We are so busy running around and doing all the things that we have to do. We are so bombarded by all this stimulus that is coming at us all of the time. Noise and information, all of it vying for our attention. I don't know about you, but I have this to-do list that is never empty. Before it gets finished, there are more things that are added to it all the time. There are always things to do and things to take care of and things that are calling for me to finish them. What happens because of that is we almost entirely get this outward focus. We're focused on those things we have to do and what's calling our attention. Those demands of having to do whatever we have to do at work, or the demands of running a household, prepping for meetings, or taking care of kids, or taking care of a spouse, or returning those phone calls, or reading your emails and returning emails. All of that stuff keeps us outwardly focused. And then there's the noise of the TV. Can you even get away from a TV these days? You go to a restaurant that used to allow you to be with your friends and talk with the people that you care about, and there's TVs on. In the car, we have the radio on. There's just this noise and all this information coming at us. You turn on your phone and there's the news. You open up your computer and there's the news of all these things that seem really stressful. the things that are going on in the world, the threat of nuclear war and worrying about the economy or worrying about women's healthcare issues or whatever it is, the environment and the EPA that's grabbing our attention all of the time, keeps us focused outward and keeps us focused on the problems. And then if that isn't enough, we worry about what might happen that we don't even know what's going to happen. If we're not worrying about the future, then what do? We obsess about something that happened in the past that we didn't like, something that didn't exactly work out the way that we wanted, and we think about it over and over. I wonder if I said the right thing. You know, I could have said this, or I should have said that, and this is what they said, and what if they would have said this instead? And something that lasted like 30 seconds, we can make it into hours in our brain. It expands in time because we keep thinking about it over and over again, especially if we've done something wrong, even more so. Or the car accident that you have that happened also. If I had only left the house 5 minutes later or earlier or not taken that street or, you know, we just go on and on and on in our heads. We're teaching spiritual fitness class right now, and it's based on a book by Carolyn Reynolds called Spiritual Fitness, and she talks about that. And she says, beyond all your thoughts and emotions, this is not what she says here. She says that later. She actually says, yeah, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. She actually says that kind of thinking that we do in our heads over and over again will never bring us peace. As soon as we come to a conclusion about one of those things, we find something else to think about. We find something else to obsess about and to worry about. That our human brain is like a dog with a bone. It just wants a problem to chew on and to think about. So my God, do you feel exhausted just from talking about all that stuff, hearing about all that stuff? That's what happens is we get exhausted and we feel frazzled and we feel stressed out. The title of my talk today is Tapping In. And I'm talking about the fact that, yes, indeed, we live in this infinite intelligence and in this presence that is for good, this energy of life that includes in itself peace, that we are filled with that infinite intelligence. And that presence of peace is where we are, but we must tap into it in the silence of our own beingness in order to experience it. We must tap into that presence in the stillness within us in order to experience it. As long as we're outward focused, we're not going to experience that wisdom and that peace and that sense of well-being. The other thing that I'm talking about is how our consciousness, whether it's a consciousness of worry or a consciousness of peace, is the thing that creates the lens through which we experience life. It creates how we experience life. And I don't know about you, but me, what I really want is peace. What I really want is serenity. What I really want is just to be at ease and to know that all is well. And part of that comes from tapping into that one and knowing when we touch that wisdom that we will absolutely know what to do and how to do it and when to do it as long as we listen to that wisdom when we tap into it. Part of that peace comes from knowing that that wisdom of the universe, that intelligence that makes a tomato seed grow into a tomato plant, lives within us and expresses as intuition, expresses as guidance, expresses as a knowingness where we just know how to do something. And you know what? We will never, ever find that kind of lasting peace in this material world. The peace we find in this material world is fleeting. And we will never, ever find that kind of wisdom and knowingness that all is well in our heads, in that thinking and that obsessing and that figuring out and that cognitive kind of thinking. Knowing is not the same as thinking. Do you know that? Do you have that experience when you just know something? That wisdom, I call that deep bones knowing. And so this is what Carolyn Reynolds has to say in Spiritual Fitness book. She says, beyond all your thoughts and emotions, deep down inside you, there exists a center of perfect peace. This is the part of you that is unaffected by the vicissitudes of your daily life because it is constantly linked to your source, to the universal life force of which you are a part of. Like an invisible umbilical cord, this place of peace feeds you all your real power and sustenance. It is the part of you that actually gets you through life because it is the seat of your soul. That place within us of stillness. And so, if we want to have peace in our hearts, peace within us, if we want to have access to that true wisdom that is within us, we must detach from the noise of the world. We must detach from the frenzy of what's going on in our lives and all of the stimulation. We must detach from that repetitive, obsessive thinking that we do and worrying. We must tap into that one that lives within us. And so I read a story this week that speaks to this. And it says, a young man once lost his job, and growing somewhat desperate about his plight, he went to see an old preacher that he knew. As he poured out his heart to the preacher, he angrily declared, I've begged and begged God to say something to me, preacher. Why doesn't God answer? And the old preacher, who was sitting across the room, spoke a reply so quiet that the young man was able to make it out. The young man stepped across the room. What did you say? He asked. The preacher repeated himself again in a soft tone. So the young man moved closer until he was leaning on the preacher's chair. Sorry, he said, I still didn't hear you. With their heads together, the old preacher spoke once more. God often whispers, he said, so we have to move closer to hear. God whispers in the quietness of our being when we listen in the quiet. We move closer, like that preacher said, when we tune into the silence of our own being. We do that by being in solitude. We do that by spending time in nature. We do that not by doing, but just by being. We do that by being in the quiet. And we do that in the quiet of meditation when we still our minds down so we can hear. We do that in journaling when we give ourselves enough time to write about that thing we keep obsessing about and complaining about until we get to the end of it and there's a space for silence so we can hear the wisdom of our own soul. It is in that place of silence that we discover peace. It is in that place of silence that we discover our own deep well-being. It's there that we hear the wisdom of our soul, that deep bones knowing. Like I said, it's different than our everyday thinking because it's soul-level thinking. I actually grew up in a home that was a lot of fighting went on in that house, and yelling and screaming and throwing things and craziness. And I went to therapy when I was in my late 20s and remember in therapy talking to my therapist about fighting with my girlfriend and yelling at her and talking about yelling at someone. And she asked me, what do I know in my head about yelling at her? And I said, you know what? It's not okay to yell at her. And she had me move into my heart and ask, what does my heart know about this? My heart said, it's not okay to ever yell at anyone. And when I get to the quiet of my soul and listen, what my soul says is that everyone is sacred. What my soul says is that I am whole. I am safe. Peace is. And when I'm in that energy, there's no reason to ever yell at anyone. When I'm anchored in the truth that I'm whole, nobody can take anything from me. When I'm anchored in the truth that I'm enough, it doesn't matter what's going on out there. So the voice of our soul of the divinity within us is totally different than the voice of our head and what that intelligence has to tell us. When we do that on a regular basis, tap into that within us, what happens is it's kind of like yeast in bread. It starts growing. So it's not only when we are spending time in nature, or not only when we are journaling, or not only when we're meditating that we have access to that peace and to that wisdom, but that it spreads out so that regardless of what we're doing, it doesn't matter, we still can tap into that, because we've grown it in our consciousness. And when we do that, then we move through our life with a deeper sense of well-being. Then we really get it. Things will work out. We don't have to worry. This too will work out. We don't get knocked off of balance so easily when things don't go our way. And if we do get knocked off balance, we come back sooner. Ray, can I tell a story on you? Ray told me this morning that he hung a ceiling fan in the bedroom this weekend and didn't even yell. I know so often Ray shares with me, why am I echoing so loud? Ray shares with me that, you know, he gets knocked off balance, but he comes back pretty quickly. It doesn't take days of obsessing about what happened, but oftentimes, we don't even get knocked off balance by the things that would normally push our buttons. In the Talmud, which is one of the sacred books of Judaism, it says, you do not see things as they are, but as you are. We see through the lens of our consciousness. That's how we see life. That's why two people can go experience the same thing and have a totally different experience of it. Two people can go to a roadside circus or fair and think it's really exciting and fun, and the other person thinks it's terrifying, because the consciousness, the lens that we're looking through, creates how it is that we experience life. And so I have a story to share with you about that. It says this: there were once two identical twins. They were alike in every way but one. One was a hope-filled optimist who only ever saw the bright side of life. The other was a dark pessimist who only ever saw the downside in every single situation. The parents were so worried about the extremes of optimism and pessimism in their boys that they took them to the doctor. He suggested a plan. On their next birthday, give the pessimist a shiny new bike, but give the optimist only a pile of manure. It seemed like a fairly extreme thing to do, but the parents decided that since they always treat their boys equally, but they would try this time to take the doctor's advice and to try doing this. And so when the twins' birthday came around, they gave the pessimist the most expensive, top-of-the-range racing bike a child ever owned. When he saw this bike, his first words were, "I'll probably crash and break my leg." To the optimist, they gave a carefully wrapped box of manure. He opened it, looked puzzled for a moment, and then ran outside screaming, "You can't fool me! Where there's this much manure, there's got to be a pony around here somewhere!" It's hysterical. But the lens through which we see through, the lens of worry or the lens of oneness or the lens of the fact that we are immersed in this intelligence that fills our lives, that determines the experience we have. That determines what we see, because what we focused on gets magnified, and then we see through that. And so I have a little tiny exercise for you to do. Close one of your eyes and focus on something in the room. And now make an okay sign with your fingers and take that and slide it over your vision to what you're looking at and see if it does not become clearer and more prominent and more magnified in your perception. That's what happens. What we focus on becomes clearer and more real and more magnified And then, because of the law of attraction, we end up drawing that to ourselves. And so spiritual practice then, communing with the infinite, with our own soul, with whatever it is that you want to call that, that is bigger than our human self, that thing that is within us and around us, is magnified by our spiritual practice. It creates a lens that tells us, I am never alone. I am always companioned by that. That spiritual practice and having that focus allows us to tap into the peace that is beyond what's going on, but the peace that is always here. Do you get, if you took everything away, all the conflict and all the thoughts and whatever's going on in the world, that you're left with peace? It's right here. Peace is always right here. It enables us, spiritual practice enables us to tap into that. It enables us to recognize and hear the wisdom within us because we take time listening. You know, they say prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening. And so Reynolds says in her book, as you progress further along your spiritual path, you'll find that all of your answers you seek live deep inside you. Therefore, it becomes impossible for you to advance further along your path of spiritual awakening without knowing how to go inside and tap your inner wisdom. There is no substitute for this inner experience to the universal life force, and the only way that you can truly access it is by disengaging from all external focus. You will then be able to enter into the heaven that you carry inside of you. We have to take our attention off of out here and off of in here with the craziness that goes on to the silence. And that doesn't mean that you have to sit in the lotus position with your fingers like this and om. But what it does mean is that it's important for you to discover ways that you can find the silence inside of you, ways that you can get quiet. It's important that you discover ways to slow down and to slow your thinking down so there are some spaces in it, so that you can hear the wisdom inside of you, so that you can feel the peace inside of you, so that you can feel and touch your own soul. And so my invitation to you is to try different things. First of all, if you discover if you are a kinesthetic learner or auditory or visual, that will help you discover what's going to work for you in spiritual practices. If you need to do visualization and guided imagery, or if you need to sit and speak the word, the mantra, peace, over and over to yourself and feel the peace in your body, or if you need to move and do yoga or do tai chi or take a walk, but find what works for you and try them on. Try things that slow you down and help you be quiet and help you be with yourself. Go to the park. Go for a hike. Go sit at the ocean and stare at the ocean and don't talk to anybody. Do yoga or tai chi or drumming or just go out for a walk in your neighborhood. Try journaling. Talk about your problems and the things that are bothering you until you get to the end of it to create some space, so you can hear that other wisdom, that softer voice that we have to get closer to hear. Do oming. I love oming. It creates a great vibration. Do a mantra of peace or assuredness or whatever it is that you need to experience in your life. Say it over and over to yourself on every out-breath till you become quiet and centered. Take time every single day, 10 minutes, 15 minutes to be in the silence without the TV on, not in front of your phone or your computer, but just to be. Go sit in your backyard and watch the birds. And as a result, you will feel so much more centered and have such a greater feeling of calm and of peace. And in that quiet, you will discover access to a wisdom that is amazing and that is always where you are. And you will find peace. And so blessings to all of you on this path of self-discovery, discovery of your own divinity and the spirit within you, and this path of awakening and of this magnificent life. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is to take our attention off of this material physical world and all of its callings and just to turn within to this place within where we are eternally connected with that infinite one, that place right between breaths, that place right between heartbeats. Here in this stillness is this one. And so I recognize that it is the one life. It is the one presence. It is the one power. It is the one from whence everything has come. And that one that we live and move and have our beingness within. For this one that lives at the center of our being is also everywhere present. That it surrounds us and envelops us and walks with us and is with us everywhere we go. In everything we do, this invisible presence of peace and of absolute intelligence, of love and of light, of magnificence, of creativity, all that this divine presence, this infinite one is present at every point in space and at every point in time. All of it is present at every space. Point in space and time. And so today I recognize that that means that we walk in this presence every single moment of our lives. Every single thing that we do in this presence. And so I speak this word then, knowing today that we have absolute access to every single thing that we need. We have absolute access to all the wisdom that there is. We have absolute access to all the peace that there is. To all the love that there is. Everything that we need to know and to be is already available because we are in this presence of the infinite, infinite potential and infinite good. And so in this communion, in this recognition, in this knowingness, a blessing is poured out into our lives so great we could not possibly contain it. For this is the way the divine unfolds itself as the good in our lives. And so today we tap in, we lean in, and we recognize that it is always closer than breath and nearer than hands and feet. And so I know that our lives are richly blessed today, that peace is ours, health and wholeness and harmony and order are ours, all the good we could conceive of. And so we say yes to that today. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is taken a hold of and that it is unfolding itself in our lives now. And I say thank you, law. Thank you, universe. Thank you, God, for that. And so I release this prayer in absolute acceptance, and I experience it as so. And so it is.